Hey, everybody, and welcome to the SEAL podcast, episode number 37 for blah, 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 sometime in, where is it, May?
May. It's VE Day, Fraser.
Oh, yeah. It is VE Day.
It's one down in the history books.
Yeah, slightly disappointed. Not disappointed, but there wasn't really too much happening here in Canada. It may have got a mention.
You're not in Europe, though, are you? To be fair.
No, but I like to think we had a little bit of a hand in it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And there was some sort of relevance to Canada for victory in Europe. I mean, even though it was like quite a way away, but there you go. Anyway, that's for another story.
It's like you've forgotten it ever happened.
I mean, generally they're very patriotic here, and you know, they Remembrance Day is super huge here, right? So I don't know. Anyway, although I did see a video today of the planes flying over in the number 75 with the sevens all being
great.
Modern fighters and the fives were Spitfires. Was that right?
I don't know about that. They looked a bit jet-fired type to me.
The sevens were, but I think the fives looked like
Spitfires. Oh, I didn't say that.
It looks a bit more modern than Spitfires, I thought, but I don't know.
Maybe. Like it was just a, anyway.
They looked older, definitely.
Yes, I'm joined on my left by Neil.
Hello.
And on my right by Dave.
Hello.
We're not backed up by anyone today. We're fed up of guests. We don't want any more.
I talk so much. strong opinions.
We got Pilch boosting our ratings. We got Mike
lowering our ratings,
scooping up our bandwidth. It's a momentous occasion today, isn't it? Because Neil, would you like to announce?
I'm having baby.
You're having a baby. Neil's pregnant.
That's why my belly's huge.
No, we got to signify the glorious year down the line, we got the Podbean bill, right? So it's bittersweet, isn't it? You know, like sitting there licking the thumb and just sort of getting some notes out to pay the man. But it's good. It's a good sign, right? Congratulations, guys.
Well, 1 year. That's quite an achievement, I think. I don't think we ever thought, well, I know I didn't ever think that I'll still be doing this a year in the future.
Really?
It's only a year ago.
Well, you know, it started off, banter between mates and playing games. And I never really sort of looked forward thinking, oh, I'll be doing this for a year now. I thought I'd be doing 6 months and then it'll peter off or... you know, lose interest, but no, a full year's gone by and I'm still raring to go. I'm still lagging the misses.
Stuck around for a year. Let's be...
It's good, isn't it?
It's been a laugh. It's been a good laugh.
Yeah.
Hopefully someone else's laugh as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there's sort of a... Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. It's easy going. I mean, the feedback we've had from everybody who's come on as a guest, and make no bones about it. If you want to come on as a guest, just ask. Right? Doesn't mean you're getting on, but you can ask. You can certainly, no one's stopping you asking. Everyone's just like, oh, this is pretty easy going, isn't it? You know, it's like, yeah, I think that's why I quite like it. Right. It's not too.
Maybe we should just not bother talking about games. It's almost like a hassle.
But I think that's a very relevant point, isn't it? Right? It's that, you know, if you're trying to, I don't know, it's one of those things. Like, I think with a lot of podcasts, you know, they're very guilty of trying too hard. And I'm not saying that I haven't been guilty of that of podcasts in the past, right? You know, you're desperate to just fill up with games and do stuff about games and have the latest news and all that sort of stuff that, you know, that, the actual enjoyment out of it can sometimes get sort of buried underneath all that, right? So,
we don't worry about being too professional.
The way I see it is if people want serious news and information and, you know, reporting style information being fed into their ear holes, then there's lots of other professional websites that do very good podcasts about that and do that, and you know, it's people's full-time jobs.
We're just fuck off and go get it from somewhere else.
we're just a bunch of guys that like to chat shit and banter, and you know, we have our own opinions about news that get fed to us, and I hope that our opinions as 3-4 guys sit around a podcast having some beers on a Friday night is a bit, you know, is a is a nice change from the serious just facts being thrown at people.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what I think. That's what I think we bring to this, and I hope people enjoy it. So,
yeah, good. And they do. Yeah. The numbers are still sort of on the rise.
there are some numbers. You know.
There are numbers.
Are we past the peak?
The curve. Let me tell you, the curve may be flattening, but it doesn't matter. It's all good. Okay, well then let's get into the shout outs because that's what we do. Start off with friend of the show, Stuart Cullen, who was massively disappointed, I think, last week that we didn't do a show because there was some Stadia stuff, right? And there still is going to be some Stadia stuff coming up soon as well.
Spoilers.
Foreshadowing.
He says, after the Series X showcase, what does gameplay really mean in this day and age? And with PUBG being a bigger savior than Christ, it seems, has Stadia finally capitalized on the situation? Have they? Well, first of all, let's put PUBG and Stadia to the side for now, because that might be something. It's possible that might be relevant later.
Okay.
I'm going to admit, and I didn't watch the Xbox. It's a Series X showcase.
I watched about the last 2 minutes of it, and I couldn't be bothered to go back and watch the whole thing because everyone was a bit like, it was all right. There's quite a load of cool-looking games by the look of it, but the big takeaway was, well, it was the big thing beforehand was like, come and watch this new gameplay. And there was the big thing was Assassin's Creed, and they didn't really show gameplay, did they? It was all like cutscene stuff.
It's so poor. Like, I'm not surprised, though, isn't it? It's just poor.
Well, they've apologized, haven't they, for building expectations. I think the Assassin's Creed were already on the beforehand going, well, you know, don't get your hopes up kind of thing. But,
it'd
already been said, hadn't it? So,
didn't somebody do that recently as well? Wasn't it Nintendo or someone recently showed something or other, and it was all just cutscenes? I don't know, man. I mean, it's not something that hasn't happened before.
This is just, before, right? I don't know. Just, like, you get this at, well, normally it's a bit later on in the year, isn't it? This would all probably have come out at E3 in their, I don't know, on part of their show, I guess, that they've already put out because the big stuff's coming later on.
Well, are they damned if they do, or are they damned if they don't? Yeah, because, I mean, say they were to put game, because they've had this, had it before where they've put gameplay out and then it's completely changed over development over a year or so. And then, so can't win, can they?
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if it did come out and it was actual gameplay? It's just like, it looks fucking amazing. There we go.
It's funny you say that. I just remembered back, and this would have been going back to PlayStation 1 around that time. A friend of mine worked for EA, and he said, and there were cutscenes on one of the games. And I said, the cutscenes are pretty cool. Even if you look at the cutscenes now, they look pretty janky. Mm. Whatever. But he was like, one day, Fraser, the gameplay is going to be like that. I was like, no way! How can you? I can't imagine that. And, you know, it's just funny how it's so surpassed that. It's just...
Yeah, PlayStation 1.
I mean, most cutscenes should be in-game engine anyway, shouldn't they, by now?
Well, I think, like, a lot of it's maybe got better assets in the cutscenes than it would in the game. But a lot, like Gears, I think, is all pretty much in-engine stuff. And the Gears Tactics stuff is all looks... What is it? Like, one of the PlayStation games was... It was God of War, wasn't it? Everyone was like, yeah, you're in sort of like a cutscene, and then you just kind of, the camera just kind of swings around behind, and you just carry on. It's like... So...
Hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing now, I guess, that is, well, probably something you're going to see more of, I would say, going forward. Less, because it's all about, like, they're playing that video and it's loading up in the background kind of thing, I assumed, in the past.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know, what does gameplay really mean in this day and age? Who knows, maybe in a year's time, like I say, maybe Assassin's Creed game will look like a fucking cutscene that looks mental.
Yeah, but I mean, gameplay. What does gameplay mean? It means like someone playing the game. I don't think how it's not much more than that.
There's so many different types of game now. Like, so we'll see. can't
afford. I don't want to use the same expression again, but they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. I mean, it's almost a thankless task, isn't it? Like trying to convey.
Oh, this is Xbox, so someone was going to be unhappy about anything, something. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Jay sent us a message. He says, what is the most positive thing you have taken from this global pandemic situation? Are there things you have discovered about yourself? Maybe new skills you have learned? Maybe just having the excuse to be lazy? So what positives have you taken?
I've tried to not watch the news, so I don't know. I've spoke to people that I'd never spoken to probably before in my local vicinity. Literally today. Not, you know, kept our distance and everything, but it was obviously a bit of a day today, wasn't it? Like, it would have been a big thing if this wasn't all going on, I guess.
I don't know.
Front gardens and stuff today, so you're like... talking to people that you don't normally talk to and all that sort of stuff. So I
remember it a couple of years ago, and people tried to make it a big thing, and it wasn't, because most people were either going away because it's a bank holiday weekend.
Conversation today.
So I think it's because people have got nowhere to go or nothing to do. Yeah. It's a bigger thing this year. So I don't know.
The British are very good at getting behind something like that, though, I find. You know, the Brits always surprise me in that they can be so stubborn and so aloof and so sometimes appear so disconnected from being interested in something. And then you get something like the 75th anniversary of VE, and they're all like, suddenly the bunting's out and the flags are out, and I saw people talking about scones with lashings of, I mean, they just very easily could put their sort of crusty exteriors aside and embrace all that sort of,
you know what helps with that?
British cheese, you know what I mean?
The consumption of life
alcohol.
Yeah. That always helps, doesn't it?
That's about as British as it gets, I think, on a bank holiday.
True. Yeah, it's true.
I had a butt phone call from my dad, and it was like, it sounds like he was in the middle of a party. I was like, what the hell is he doing? It's like I could just hear like Rolling Stones playing and then people kind of shouting. I was like, where the bloody hell was he?
I didn't realise it was still possible in this day and age to butt dial people.
Yeah, apparently. When you're 70-odd.
No, I thought that was going to be some sort of new app, like a Zoom or something. I don't know what you're talking about. We call it pocket dial over here.
That may well be a thing. Butt dial, I guess. Probably a pay service somewhere, I guess.
Dave, you got furloughed, right? Neil, you work on the front line. But for me, I haven't, you know, I just got to admit, I just go to the office like normal and I come home, and except for the fact that I probably haven't been into a shop for 6 weeks, I don't really think that there's much difference. The main thing I've taken from it is I love being outside with less cars.
I can imagine.
Well, the weather's been fucking amazing for about the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Probably longer, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It's like, is this all related to the fact that basically no one is fucking driving anywhere in the entire world? Nice to not see the fucking planes, because we live near Luton Airport, so you constantly get planes around. Now I don't see any fucking planes, low-level planes. They're all fucking up high if I see one. So,
I mean, it's really interesting, right? Who's going to travel? Like,
fucking, I don't want to go on holiday this
year. Who wants to go on a plane?
Not me.
I'm thanks.
We're going on one later this year.
Yeah,
but we'll see if that happens. Late August, yeah. They might be encouraging people to do that then. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure
if there's any plane companies still in operation.
So he's probably taken all the money and run by then.
Oh yeah.
I have spoken to some people that I wouldn't normally. You know what I have done? I haven't for a long time. I've been caught up in Facebook stuff. Like, I don't know what it is. I've been talking to old school mates. I've got on board on that posting your 10 favorite albums once a day or whatever like that. And I dragged my wife into it, and we've just got smiles on our faces. And I'm genuinely getting some joy talking, you know, reminiscing about old music I listened to as a kid and stuff like that with other people and friends from school and stuff. It's really, really soppy, but it's trying to be politically correct, but it's really soppy, but I don't know. Yeah.
It's better than just nonstop dog pics though. So
yeah, that too. Yeah.
See, my wife tagged me in that thing, and I was like, oh, I got a notification on Facebook. I was like, click it. It was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I was like, I don't know. I can't think of any. And then about a few days later, because I couldn't be bothered, I just went through my phone. I'd reorganized all of my home pages into, because I got bored, just like delete my Android, just like fucking wipe everything clean. New home screen. With some clocks on. Got the time for Toronto on there, so I know what time it is at your area.
Nice. I'm your international friend, aren't I?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't even know what fucking time is over there. I'm used to fucking international times.
I should get clocks on the wall here, shouldn't I? But I'm gonna put Northampton and Milton Keynes under two of them.
Yeah, there's not much. Maybe a second between the two, I guess. I don't know. But, I fucking forgot to put Facebook back on there because I only had it linked to a web page anyway. I'd binned off the app ages ago. So I haven't been on Facebook for about 2 weeks. So I don't know what's going on Facebook.
It's nice to catch up with people. It's good. Anything else on the pandemic? Haven't got sick, haven't died. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's positive. Pretty positive for me particularly. I'm like, hate
new skills.
People. I'm pretty good at that lazy bit.
Yeah.
My wife's banging on about it. She's like, aren't you going to do some ironing? I was like, why do I need some iron? Where the fuck are you wearing this coat to?
Yeah, that's a good point. Dave, you must have picked up some new skills with all your jobs.
I've been doing the jobs I've kind of been happy, not happy to do the jobs, more, I don't know how to say it. The jobs that I do, I'm more confident in doing them now because I do lots of things more often. I think that's the best way of describing it. Before I was always hesitant and it would always take me like a couple of hours just to do the simplest jobs, but now I'm just, you know, because I've been getting the drill out and, you know, like actually getting the tools out to do them, I was like, yeah, jobs that used to take me like an hour and a half take me about 20 minutes now, just because I'm a lot more confident and I know what I'm doing. So yeah. DIY, yeah, kind of, but
you're handy. Yeah. Handyman is handier.
Yeah, handier man. So, but it's now I'm looking at the small jobs going, oh, I can't be asked to start that because it's, you know, it's more time to get all the equipment out, get set up. Then I'll just do the job in like 5 minutes and I've got to put it all away again. And like, so I'll try and save up all the little jobs to actually to get it all sorted in one.
Okay, let's go to Andy. Andy Cox, friend of the show. Sent in, evening all, hope all's well in your respective households. Apologies missed sending in questions for the last show, but when I saw the running time and that Chinny was on, I guess you had quite enough content already. Yeah, that's an understatement. Strangely enough, a couple of days after the show, I had to borrow a Kango from work to break up some concrete around some fence posts at home. Grr, man's tool. I don't know what a Kango is.
Sounds like pneumatic drill, I'm guessing.
Everyone's highlighting Kango right now to go and search for what it is. Explore Kango.
Kango drill.
Ooh. Oh, is it like a pneumatic drill type
that
thing?
That needs goggles and all sorts of stuff and gloves by the sound of it. Big Ooh, man gloves.
Oh, look at that. Oh, demolition hammer. Look at it.
Yeah. Breaking hammer drill. Nice.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, Andy, you win.
I hope he was going to hard that.
Usual couple of week questions this week. It's your turn to cook dinner. Do you have any go-to meals that you do? For me, it's either a roast, a chili, or a stir fry. Meals?
I cook a lot, but pretty good at chicken nuggets. Beige dinners are the winner. But no, I cook all sorts, really. But
imagine you. Okay, here's you go. Imagine that you've. Okay. Your missus has left you. Okay, the inevitable. Your missus has left you. All right. You knew it was coming, and now you're back on the scene. You're gone down the club.
Got sick of me not ironing.
Gone down the club. That's right. You're gone down the club in your wrinkled shirt, okay? And you've impressed some. I would like to say young lady, but she's probably going to be middle to old age lady. by coming second in the quiz. Hey. So you wait around for dinner on a Sunday night. What's your go-to? What do you cook?
I do good roast potato, so I'll probably cook a roast dinner.
Nice.
That's not bad.
I can make you Dave? As well.
So.
Oh yeah, Dave hasn't been left by his wife because he's super handy around the house, and she doesn't dare get rid of him.
So mine's a two for one. So I do a spag bowl, but I do enough to do enough for the next night and turn that into a chili.
Nice, yeah.
So it's like
a sleepover job then.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave's getting lucky, he knows it too.
So that's my quick and easy that's a couple of hours, but I also
pretty good chili and all.
I've started baking bread. Mm-hmm. So I would do a nice sort of loaf with that as well.
that just makes me laugh. Loaf.
But I'm also good at doing Chinese. I do a really nice chicken chow mein. And I've recently, the last couple of weeks, started doing sweet and sour chicken balls.
Mate, that's sweet and sour is like the most unhealthy thing I've ever made, I think.
Yeah. I'm
like, this is really bad.
Yeah, it's once you actually start making it and
once you know what's going into it. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A fucking cup of brown sugar, yeah. A cup of vinegar, a cup of ketchup, bang! You're like, Jesus Christ, how have I not died by eating this? Like,
it's good though. It's good.
Mine would be, it's got to be pasta puttanesca, which is
fancy.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's not it's supposed to be.
Sounds fancy because you're saying
it's fancy. Oh. Yeah, well, it's basically like you basically chop up some onions, some anchovies and things like fry up anchovies, olives, capers, loads of stuff that a lot of people would hate. Put in some tomatoes and then you just throw it over pasta. It's really quick and easy to do.
Okay.
And
quite salty, but tasty.
Yeah, it's very salty, very tasty. Yeah, and it's really good. And I love it. And also, the way I got introduced to it was I was actually in Milan with a friend of mine, and we went to visit this girl, a friend of his. We were absolutely starving. She said, "Do you want some food?" I was like, "Yeah, please." And she just knocked it up in like 15, 20 minutes, and it just saved my life. I was so hungry. So, you know, it's just one of those meals. I just love it. It's just, I learned it in the perfect way, and I've just been cooking it for years, and my kids eat it. And everyone, you know, nice. If we need to make something quick, it's great. Andy follows that with second question. You may have seen we got a new dog today. I did see that. Looked very cute. Are you a dog or a cat person? I can answer for
it. I'm a neither person.
Are you really neither?
Well, I would definitely go with a dog over a cat any day of the week, but we don't have either because my missus is allergic. So,
right. You know I'm a dog person. Mm. No doubt about it. Yeah, my behemoth, mammoth. I've got a, for anyone who doesn't know, I've got a Labrador crossed with, we think it's Mastiff or maybe Dane. He's like a oversized giant Labrador. He's 100.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that before.
Yeah, so he's pushing 100. The last time he got weighed, he's 117 pounds. So he's a lot of dog. He's absolutely wonderful.
117 pounds? What's that in stone? Is that like seven and a half? Eight stone.
No, eight stone, isn't it, roughly. Eight and a bit.
That's bigger than my wife.
He's a lot of dog.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a big lad. And he's lean as you like, right? There's nothing on him that shouldn't be. I've seen people cross the road to avoid him. But he's wonderful. He's just so lovely. And
20 bucks. Yeah, they're like, woof, that's a big
dog. Yeah, always, yeah, he's got a good woof. Oh yeah. Like, you know what? You just take him out. I could take him out any time at night and walk in any neighborhood. It just doesn't matter. It's great. Yeah, and he's a rescue from Texas. So he was found on the streets in Texas, and then we brought him up. Wow. We went over across the border to the States and picked him up and brought him home, and he's our
Has he got a little passport?
No. He had papers though, obviously, to get him across the border. So yeah. So that's cool.
So I'm a dog person. Oh.
Can you still get dogs from Texas and in Canada now, or is that like?
Nah, I'm not sure. I think we've been looking at getting a second one, and I think my wife spoke to the adoption agency, or the rescue agency, or whatever you want to call them, and they said they're not bringing any across the border right now, which is a shame because there's a lot of. There are tons of people up here have rescue dogs from the States. So the States, not as much. There's a lot of people who, I don't want to tar everyone with the same brush at all, but there's a lot of people down in the States who don't take care of their pets.
Same everywhere, I think.
I'd say it's just more, is that just because there's more people?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, maybe.
But no, my sister fosters dogs, and she took her dog on just before the whole lockdown thing happened, and she was like, so when are we going to not have this dog anymore? And I was like, well, we're not doing home visits to anybody, so until lockdown is over and we start visiting people to make sure they're okay to take the dog. So, okay, because like she normally has them for like 4 or 6 weeks while they sort of, you know, get rescued, go to her house, and she's an intermediary between somebody taking them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
How does she give them up? I couldn't imagine giving my dog up.
Oh, I know. She has a dog already, but yeah, like she just has like one or two foster dogs in.
Yeah, I guess every couple of weeks. If you know they're going, then that's it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's happy in the knowledge that when the fostering process is done, is they've done all the checks on the new family that are going to have them, make sure they're, you know, they're okay to have them and going to take care of them. So I think she's happy in that. In the knowledge that they're going to a good home. So, but yeah, like she has had this dog now for 9 or 10 weeks and they are getting very attached to it. So it's a black lab. So
maybe not giving that one up then.
Well, it depends when lockdown, you know, if it's another 2 or 3 months before lockdown's, you know, called off, then I can imagine that they will be just like, yeah, we'll just have this one.
We'll just keep this one.
I used to have cats, but that was mainly because of the missus likes cats. So I like dogs. I'm a dog person. I like. I grew up around greyhounds and lurchers.
Oh, nice.
I absolutely.
They are the funniest looking dogs,
greyhounds. Yeah.
It's like. Weird,
yeah,
so skinny.
Yeah, but they're lovely, they're so soft.
I was literally just about to pick up my mic and take a drink out of it.
Nice,
oh dear,
perfect.
So, yeah, dogs good. All the way,
yeah, cool. It is, it's dogs across the board. Okay, cool. Thanks, Andy, for that, and everyone else for your messages. That's what we have. Intros. Mm-hmm. We'll just go in order here. Neil.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a problem the last couple of weeks. I don't know why, but my thumb really started fucking hurting, like really fucking hurting, like right down the base of my joint. I think a bit of tendonitis. It's just about getting better now. So it's been about 2 weeks.
So is it on your mouse hand?
It's on my right hand, which is my mouse hand, but I've not been playing many mouse games. Well, I hadn't been playing many mouse games. The last spoilers, I've been playing a lot more mouse games in the last 2 weeks because I've binned off the controller, thinking, can't believe it was snooker. I was playing a lot of snooker, but don't really use your thumb. Well, you use your thumb a lot, but it's not.
It's not a very reaction based game.
I think it might
be
the Call of Duty on the controller that maybe bumped my thumb completely. Plus, when I'm at work, I use it. Like, I have to hold a little portable computer thing and I'm using my right thumb, bang, 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 zap, zap, and putting labels in and stuff like that. It was a real fucking struggle at work for the fucking week to do anything properly. So, that's been a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, so you can't go see anyone about it. You just tend to.
Well, I was just like, I looked it up online. It's like, if it doesn't get better within like a week or so, then you probably need to go to the doctors. Otherwise, it'll probably get better on its own. As long as you rest it. I was like, well, that ain't happening, is it? But, not without having a week off work. It just seemed really lame. I'd be like, yeah, I can't do anything with my thumb. So I was like, it was okay. I just used my left hand for a while. But it's been a bit annoying. But obviously, that's like I say, that's made me go back to the mouse. Well, because of the map, like I'm not actually using my thumb really when I'm using my mouse. But obviously, when I was using it on a controller, it was, that's the new classic. So it was absolutely loads. So I've not played anything on a controller for 2 weeks really. And I can't remember if I said about my pressure washer.
You did. You said you got your pressure washer back from your dad.
I've been to see my mum and dad and like,
see, I listen.
Stand on the path. Road and have a chat, and they were like, oh yeah, we've got your old pressure washer. I was like, fucking hell, that's about 20 years old. But got it home a few days later, plugged it in,
fired up the old girl,
borrowed a hose pipe from the mother-in-law as well, because we ain't got one of them either. And then plugged it all in, turned it on, pulled the trigger. I was like, yes, it fucking works.
Oh, bloody hell.
So we cleaned both the cars. Well, I'd say we cleaned both the cars. I blasted both the cars with the pressure washer, and the rest of the family washed them in inverted commas. We blasted all the water off. I blasted it again to clean it off. And
just standing back and scrub, scrub.
A day later, when it had all dried off, when I looked at my car, I was like, there's quite a clean batch. Like, three quarters of the car from the back end was quite clean. But it was like, no one bothered to do this front quarter, though. Because it was just like this dirt all around my wheel arch and everything. I was like, that's a real shit job they've done there.
Do the kids were like, can I ever go with it, Dad? Yeah, no, exactly, no, this is Dad's job. No, back,
like,
back off.
Go. Like, scrubs. You do not.
Yeah, here you go. There, did you like your go? I'll get back to it.
It's fucking powerful, that thing. It's only a cheap one. Like, it was a Karcher one or whatever. But it's not. It was only like a bottom of the range job when we picked it up. But so I'm impressed it still works. Although, to be fair, it hasn't really been able to do a lot of use, I guess, in the last God knows how long. But yeah, I did all my bloody patio slabs on my drive, and they look fucking amazing now. They were all fucking green. I've done my bins yesterday.
Nice.
So, and another thing, we've got like plastic cladding on the house, which obviously used to be wood and it got updated, PVC or whatever it is. It gets a bit fucking mossy or whatever.
Yeah,
it gets weird green shit on it, yeah. So I was up on the ladder, fucking cleaning all that, blasting that with my fucking pressure washer as well.
Man, my house looks well clean. Must have been all over you at the end of that.
Actually, if she was. Got no time for that shenanigans.
Well, the sheets aren't ironed, are they?
They're definitely not ironed. Fucking with my thumb the last 2 weeks, nothing's been ironed. Okay. She was like, you can iron with your left hand. I was like, no, you're all right. I can't iron with my left hand as it goes, but there we go.
I always used to say I'd iron when the F1's on, but the F1 hasn't been on.
Yeah, exactly. I've not watched any fucking telly for about a month because I've got to be asked to do the ironing.
I tackled my car this weekend, which was first thing I had to do was get the snow tires off. So I did that. But also I get an air compressor problem, air suspension problem, keeps popping up on the dashboard. And it's, so there's an air compressor that basically, it's not springs, right? So it's air shocks.
Right.
Air
suspension.
I thought this was a Citroen only thing.
This is common on a lot of Audis and Mercedes, and so it's not exclusive to it. But apparently the compressor, after time, the compressor starts to wear out, and so it doesn't hold its pressure as well. So that's the problem. So I got a compressor rebuild kit. I was like, they were like, yeah, you just need to take the compressor out and, you know, pull it apart and put this rebuild kit in, new O-rings and a new cylinder seal and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, I can do that. Turns out I can't.
So is your car like fucked then?
No. Well, what happened was I pulled out the wheel arch and then I got into the compressor and I just couldn't remove one bolt. Maybe two bolts or like three bolts holding this compressor, and two of them I just couldn't get. I got the bolts off, but then these other parts underneath, and I was worried that if I pulled these other things out through force, one, it was bloody difficult, and the other thing was if I strip these screws and I can't get the compressor back in, I started to weigh up my options here. Yeah. I started to weigh up the situation. It was like, am I on my, you know, I know I have a good idea of when it's time to pack the tools up and go, you know what, I'm possibly going to create way more problems here than I'm solving. And so unfortunately I didn't make it that far to get it fixed. And it's all right, it's still running, it's no problem. It's just something I wanted to get done. It's only a very intermittent problem, but that one beat me. I also took it into the garage because I just needed some work, so that was good. And I came out not too much lighter on the old wallet, so that was okay.
Did you get it done there? Did you give him the part and everything and say?
He didn't do that. I didn't talk to him about that. I'll talk to him about that later if the problem becomes, like, I can live with the problem right now. It's okay. It's only, it happens once every few days, and then
one quarter of the car just sort of sags down in the road.
Well, actually, here's what it is. Is it just because the compressor doesn't work as well as it should? It takes too long for it to get the system up to pressure, and you don't even notice it, right? You don't notice it. The system does get to pressure, but it just probably takes a little bit too long sometimes, and so the system goes, it's taking too long, something's wrong.
Yeah, so it takes like a couple of seconds rather than like a tenth of a second.
Yeah, right.
A warning light comes up. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's fine. And then anyway, so I put the wheels on and changed my wheels, and they were filthy, so I took it to the truck wash, where they do an acid wash on my wheels and they spray down the whole thing and whatever, and Rain-X and wax and whatever.
Well, does your Jag now class as a truck, does it? Or
the truck wash, the reason I take it to the truck wash is because they do a number on the alloy wheels. They make them like a beaut. So every season, like the start of the season, every time I change the tires, I'll take it to them. So
proper like spring clean for your car, so then.
You've got two sets of alloy wheels then, I assume then.
Yeah, I've got winter set and a summer set. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, they don't just change. Well, don't just change the rubber.
You got any like Oz Racing ones or anything?
They're not Oz Racing, so I don't know what they are. And they're not. And I don't. And actually, it's. I like the summer tires are the proper Jag rims, and they look stately. The winter ones are like five spoke, really low profile, and they look super sporty. And I sort of don't like taking the winter ones off because I think they look pretty badass. But the flip side of that is,
I thought winter tires were better if they weren't low profile.
You can get winter tires in anything, any size anyway. But the problem with the winter tires is they're fucking noisy, right? And
haven't they got metal spikes in them or something?
No, they're not. We don't need those here. We're not allowed those. But they're just noisy tires.
Knobbly.
Yeah, and actually, the car is pretty good at insulating. My previous Jag was not very good at insulating it. They were really noisy. This one's much better at insulating you from the noise. This one insulates you from the great unwashed outside. I like it. Yeah, come inside, and now we'll just don't worry about anything else that's going on outside. We'll protect you from all the rough and nastiness outside. I like that. I like that a lot. So, but I love putting the summer tires on because it just goes super quiet. It's just really nice. So, but anyway, that's so car stuff, great. And I continue to dig out my garden for the patio, but I think I'll do probably an update on that next week when we start to we've been doing a lot of digging. So
acres.
Yeah, no acres here, mate.
So I've been watching a bit more TV this week. And I've watched two seasons of Afterlife, the first and the second one. I think I spoke about Afterlife last week.
Yeah, is that Ricky Gervais thing?
Ricky Gervais, yeah. I watched the second season this week. It's very good.
My wife started watching it. And I watched the first episode and I was a bit of a mess. I can't watch this.
Yeah, you can't watch more than two episodes in a row because it's just so sad. Oh. It's really good. It's really good.
My daughter spammed it two seasons.
Yeah.
So she's learned to see what it is and everything now.
But no, it's thoroughly enjoyed that. It's very good. A weird thing that I was watching, it's called Unorthodox. It is on Netflix. I think it's like four or five episodes following a story of a Orthodox woman who gets married. She's already a Jewish Orthodox, but she gets married.
I know what you mean. I heard about this. I've seen it on Netflix, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch that. But I've also read an article. Somebody went, you need to watch that.
It's really good. Yeah, it's a really good sort of following one story of somebody in that life, and then obviously there's a story behind it. And I'm not going to spoil anything for it, but it's what, an hour, about 55 minutes each episode. Watch the first one if you don't like it. 55 minutes gone. But I strongly suggest watching it. Just even if you're slightly interested in like learning about other sort of cultures, it starts off in Manhattan, New York. I think it's a place called Williamsburg, which is basically not a settlement. It's an area in Manhattan. In New York, where a lot of the Jewish community live.
Is it a ghetto? Yeah. I think ghetto is like an actual term that's supposed to be like a Jewish areas. I think that's where it comes from.
I think the thing that got me is I kind of watched it going, and like the first little bit of the first episode is I didn't actually know what like time period it was supposed to be in, because it was so different. And then obviously it goes forward and you work out it's modern day, but just initially you're like, it looks like the 60s or 70s or like 80, like I couldn't pin because of the style of the people of clothing that people were wearing and their houses and stuff. It was really weird to think that in modern day people don't have TVs, computers, just modern everything that you'd expect from a modern day thing like microwaves or things like that. I know America's different, they don't actually have microwaves really, they have toaster ovens, but it was just very weird for me to see it. And it was very interesting, and watching the whole thing, really good.
Just here, ghetto, the term was originally used for the Venetian ghetto in Venice as early as 1516 to describe the part of the city where Jews were restricted to live and thus segregated from other people.
So I don't think they're segregated, but they just choose to be separated from other people, other areas, because they don't want to integrate their culture or be integrated and be influenced.
Yeah, that's the same for loads of places. Like Toronto is very, very much like there are massive pockets. I think China has the largest Chinatown outside of San Francisco. Yeah, I think maybe outside of China, the largest Chinese. We have a mega mall at one point on the other side of Toronto. Like it's a super massive Chinese shopping mall. It's amazing. Like you go in there,
song, isn't it? Super massive Chinese mall.
Super massive. But you could go in there and you would just believe that you were visiting a different country. It's insane.
Wow.
And then we also have massive North Korean areas, not populations, but areas, right?
North Korean, do you say?
Korean. Did I say North Korean?
You said North Korean.
North Korean. Yeah, it's a bit weird when you go through that one, but Korean, Chinese, like Portuguese districts, big Italian districts. So yeah, so people, it doesn't matter. There's lots of different societies that like to just congregate in there. Their areas, right?
Yeah. No. Other news. I've finally given up on my keyboard.
What?
My keyboard. I thought I fixed it as well. It was an intermittent fix, apparently. So a couple of days after I thought I fixed it, X button stopped working again. So, oh, for God's sake, okay. Took it apart, got my alcohol cleaner, wiped it all down, wiped down everything. So the keys, the silicon mesh underneath it that lights up with the LEDs and presses down with the keys onto the contacts for the actual key presses on the board. Cleaned all that down, cleaned the whole board down with alcohol and a lint-free cloth, put it back together, started working. Oh, fantastic, working again. And then stopped working again about 3 days after that.
Nuts, man.
So
I dealt with stuff that you think you've sorted it out and then it comes back. It just drives you bonkers.
It's only the X key. It's like...
It's not like you use X key all the fucking time, though, is it?
On Call of Duty, yes.
Yeah, but it's not like WASD, and D, is it? You could understand them fucking up, couldn't you?
Also, my wife, she sells her artwork online. So, like, most of the time when she's describing her images or paintings or prints, she's doing the sizes, which is 5x8 or whatever, which is always an X key. So,
I mean, let's be fair. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you use the X key once in a blue moon. The fact that you have a key that doesn't work on a keyboard means that that keyboard needs to go.
Yeah, it's the way it's right. What that key, like I said, yeah, you obviously have an explanation, but even so, I'm like, I don't understand why, like, even with that, the amount of times you're pressing was and D.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, tap constantly in a fucking Call of Duty or PUBG and everything like that. I can't believe she uses it.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? Yeah. It's just one of those things. So I have purchased a exactly the same keyboard replacement from Amazon Warehouse for £50. Yeah. So I will see when it comes through if that is any better or not. And,
well, my kids, like I said, we have two of those keyboards here that you have. Both my kids are using them, and they're both fine. No problem so far. So just a duffer.
Yeah, I bought it. I looked back at my purchase history, and it was a May 2018. So I've had it for 2 years.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not really happy about the lifestyle of it.
I'd buy another same type if that had happened to me. I'd be like, no, I ain't buying one of them again.
I'll say. Well, you know. But I didn't want to spend any more.
It's a bit of a tricky one, though, isn't it? Because you can't really go and test out a load of keyboards at the moment, can you?
No, I see. Yeah,
I quite like this one. I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah. So, I like it. It fits in with my Defada Elite Razer mouse.
Yeah. It's good. All the lights in sync and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. So now
I'm a SteelSeries man. I am.
I've gone back to my Razer Corsica, which is not an LED fancy thing, but it's been sitting in the shed for the last 2 years since I bought my new one. Plugged it in, worked fine. So
complete with millions of spider babies or something.
Yeah, ants might just start exploding from it.
You press F9. Like...
So yeah, no. But no, it's plugged it in, start working, happy with that. So it's a good spare what I've got going. So but yeah, I'll get the new one in shortly. And then other than that. We've been doing VE celebrations today. Started drinking at 2. We saw, I don't know if Neil, you might have seen them. The Red Arrows came over our area.
Asleep.
Oh yeah, it was 10:30. Yeah.
I had a bit of hangover this morning, so I was going
back to bed. And then yeah, we've got the scones out. We had sandwiches, crisps. We had a little cul-de-sac. There's 4 houses, and we all sort of got our chairs out, got a little stool, and then like a little table. We put food out, and we all went round each other's and had drinks and done quizzes and then had some oldie music on and had a bit of a dance. And yeah,
nice.
It was a bit of a weird one today, but we were supposed to be where were we supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the New Forest. We're going to go down, have a weekend down at New Forest. Littlen was going to go to my mum's. But that didn't happen. So, making a nice sit at home.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's it. That's basically what I've been up to this last couple of weeks.
All right. Good. Okay. Everyone's still busy as usual. Let's move on to, except for Neil, who's sleeping. let's move on to what we've been playing. Let's go with Neil first. He's got a good list there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a few bits in the last week. So like the few days after we last recorded, I was played a lot of snooker. I think I bought, in 2 weeks that I bought it, it said something stupid like 30-odd hours of play. So,
wow, you really have been diving in.
I really did play a lot of snooker. I was getting quite good. I got 2 century breaks. I was like, well,
oh,
I got...
no, you're going to blow me.
I haven't played for like 2 weeks now, because that was one of the games I stopped playing quite soon after my thumb started. And I was like, I can't play this. It's fucking hurting my thumb. I tried playing it on the mouse, and I was like, I can't fucking play this game on the mouse. Every time I'd... Oh, and that's another thing with my controller. There's another reason I hadn't fucking played it since. Started getting the dodgy stick drift. So I'd lined up all my shot.
Oh, on snooker, that's going to be the worst.
Yeah, and then fucking went to take the shot. I was like, oh, fuck, hang on. It's completely gone the wrong way. That's like,
Xbox One controller?
Xbox One Elite fucking 150 quid job.
Wow.
There's been a lot of complaints about that.
Yes. There's a thing in the news about an unhappy Xbox player filing a lawsuit.
Yeah, class action lawsuit coming.
Yeah. Ooh.
But I've got 2 of these fuckers. I bought one and then got one with an Xbox console, the Xbox Elite, which wasn't that elite. But it came with it was like, I think they had it in Tesco's for something like, at the time, it was like 300 quid. For the console and an Elite controller. I was like, that's fucking well cheap with my discount. I'll have that. So that's been annoying. The old stick drifting and the thumb. But I think I got a break of 104 and I'd potted 14 reds and 14 colours. And so there was like 35 left on the table and I fucked it up on the red. I was like, fuck.
Gutted, not bad going but, though.
So that would have been good. Like 139 potential break I had going. I'd have been fucking amazed if I'd have potted them all. But the last red, like I was that. Like right up next to it, and I was like, oh shit, I don't know the angle on this. It's fucking, it could be anywhere. And then in the career mode, I hit 100, straight flat 100 break. I was like, yeah, that's not bad. But then in between that, there'd been loads of 20s and 10s and 6s and stuff. So. It's fucking hard, but it's well rewarding. When you get in it and you get amongst them and you're like, yeah, here we go. Bosh, bosh, bosh. Red, black, red, black, red, black. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, I mean, I've had nothing like that, obviously. But even when we played, you know, I think we played 2 games last time and 2 or 3 games, right? And first one, I didn't play well at all. And the second one, just to have a brief moment where I put like 3 or 4 balls in, like on a trot, you just feel like, oh, I've got it now. Like, you know, I'm starting to get my eye in, right?
Yeah.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played real snooker since I don't remember when. I definitely wasn't married, so that's a good long time ago. But yeah, it's really... Like, fucking real snooker is fucking really hard. It's like playing pool is pretty easy. Go play snooker, it's like, fucking hell, this is impossible. But yeah, so it's in that respect, while it's, you know, still a video game, it's nothing like playing real snooker. But if the obviously, as the higher up you go, those difficulty levels, like there is a difficulty level where there's no assists, basically, isn't there? You just like, have to aim everything by eye and all that. And I'm like, that's as close to real snooker as you can get, I guess. But really fucking, that must be well hard. Like, you have to know what you're doing with the cue ball and where you expect it to go and all that shit at that point. But, so, yeah, I will. Now I'm starting to feel a little better. I might go start playing back on the snooker scene. I'll definitely go back to it.
We'll have to have a game.
Yeah, it's still got a little pain at the moment in my thumb, so I can't play today.
Let me know.
Yeah. What else? Where do I go next? Right, I played this game called Cards with a K, which is a card game, like a card battler game.
Okay.
But it was World War II themed, so it's kind of, you know, appropriate at this time. But I didn't play it today. I played it last week. And it's just typical, pretty standard format. You get your cards, you know, and they've all got attack points and defense points, and it's a lot more straightforward to understand, I think, than some of the more complicated ones. Like, what was the other one I was playing? I didn't put it on here. I started playing that League of Legends one, and that was a bit more complicated. That was a bit longer. But it was all right. It's a nice theme, like playing Vera Lynn music and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty cool. It's pretty atmospheric in that type of way. But it was free to play, so I only played through all the tutorials, and then you play against each nation to unlock all of their decks, and they've all got different cards that do different things. It's a usual thing, but so there's like the Great Britain, USA, Russia, or Soviet Union. Was it so? No, it was Russia then, wasn't it? Germany and Japan. So you got, what's that, five people you can pick from. There might be another one I've missed. Don't remember. And like, you have to, each game you have your sort of headquarters. You have to protect your headquarters. And obviously attack the enemy headquarters at the same time. But it was kind of cool, like a little twist on it. But yeah. I don't know how it works monetarily. Whether you start getting into it, then you're going to start have to pay there, to get stuff. I don't really know.
Yeah, there, I was just reading a review while you were talking, and there was a guy saying here that a lot of people perceive it as being pay to win for getting some better cards. But he said that he's played it a lot, and actually he's got pretty far without having to do any of that. So I'm not sure. I mean, that's, the monetization. But
yeah. They've got to make something money somehow. It's whether it's really egregious or whether it's, you know, acceptable, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I didn't get as far as playing that, but I enjoyed what I played of it for an hour or two. And then I just played something else because like, it didn't really grab me, but at the same time, it wasn't awful. So,
What was that on Steam?
It was on Steam, PC. But I don't know if it's elsewhere. It's not on mobile that I could find, unless it's like, it might be on Apple, but it wasn't on Android when I looked. Because I think a lot of these card games might be quite good on mobile. If it only takes like maybe 10, 15 minutes to play a game, it's not a bad thing for a mobile, is it? But
no.
Yeah, I didn't get into like, you can build in decks and stuff like that. I was a bit like, that's when I start to get a bit. That's why I like Slay the Spire is quite good, because you just, you know. There's none of that, is there? It's just you get your deck
and go.
Each game goes off. Each game, you start with your base, and then it just, each run goes through, and you get more cards and all that sort of stuff in the run. But and then you go back to start again. So, yeah, I've not found one yet that really captured me like that. Not that I played a lot of that either, to be honest. I like trying them all out and seeing how I get on, but I never really stick with one, I guess. So moving on, a game came out on Game Pass, Gears Tactics. This was pretty good because of my thumb. I didn't have to fucking do loads of stuff. It was pretty play at your own pace. There's no sort of time pressure kind of thing. It's like XCOM crossed with Gears, isn't it? So
I sort of imagine it's going to be like, what's the Halo one that Mike Chin loves?
Halo
top
Wars.
Down
Halo Wars. Like RTS, isn't it? So you're like RTS. I can't cope with RTS. I'm too fucking shit. Like Gears Tactics.
You're always busy.
Yeah, exactly. There's always like you need to be on this, this, this. This is your thing. You need to fucking build this, build that, build these tanks.
There's a voice in the back going, "Come on, Neil! Come on, Neil! Come on, Neil!"
Yeah, can't fucking deal with that. I can't cope with that. I remember Red Alert 2 from way back on the dial-up connections. Like, you used to play against the computer. Think you're doing okay? Yeah, I'll go play online and get absolutely ruined within 5 minutes. Going, "Oh fuck! How did they build that many hyper tanks that quick?" There you go, or whatever. So that's why I don't play them games really anymore, because I just can't do them. But Gears Tactics is it's pretty nice looking version of XCOM.
Is it?
I mean, it's not really much different, to be honest. Well, it's included with Game Pass. You might as well give it a go. It's on it's not an Xbox yet, is it? It's on PC only at the minute. But I only really played like two or three missions, but I didn't hate it. I liked it, but at the same time, I was like, I've not played XCOM, so maybe I'll go and play XCOM because I'd owned it for fuck knows how long on Steam. So I downloaded XCOM and played a bit. I played that for one evening. And I preferred Gears Tactics, I think. Gears Tactics looks real nice. And the cutscenes are fucking like, it's like out of a modern Gears game. It's like full high quality stuff going on. I've not played it a lot, so I still downloaded it. I'll go back to it, but I wanted to play XCOM to see what that was like, because I know like XCOM 2 was on sale. I think it was still cheap places. I was a bit like, I'll never really give XCOM a go, so I'm moving on to XCOM now. So
a lot of people love it.
Yeah, they do, don't they? And I was a bit like, I was really getting quite a fucking annoyed with it, because it's just so random whether your guy takes the shot or not, or guy or girl takes the shot, and you think, yeah, they should nail this shot, and no, they completely fucking miss. And you're like, that's really fucked me completely now, thanks a lot. So I've got this one guy, like, I was doing okay. I had one guy I started with, done 7 missions. Got him up to sergeant. He got injured in one thing, so I missed a couple of missions with him. And then I had another guy who was a corporal. He just got promoted. He was a sniper. Just got promoted to sergeant. I was like, yeah, he's knocked some pretty cool things here. And then in the next map, he missed like fucking 5 shots in a row. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You are shit, mate. How did you become a fucking sniper?
Oh, who promoted him?
Exactly. What a mug. It was just like, this game, why do people love this game? It's fucking annoying. But, I only played that for one night. Because I was just getting wound up. And then I just played a shitload of Call of Duty multiplayer in the last.
I'm going to just jump back to XCOM, because just coincidentally, and I don't know why it was, I was in bed the other night and I was like, I want to look up Lords of Chaos. And Lords of Chaos was an old Amiga game. Which I don't know if you guys... Dave, I'd be surprised if you didn't know these games.
I know this game, yeah.
Yeah, so there was Laser Squad and Lords of Chaos.
I remember Laser Squad. I had Laser Squad.
Yeah, where you were going up. What was the name of the bad guy in it? I can't remember now.
Oh, fuck knows. I don't think they ever found the big bad guy.
But they were all like... they call them like the granddaddies of XCOM, right? Because...
Yeah.
You know, that XCOM sort of evolved from them anyway. And I went back and watched some gameplay of Lords of Chaos. It's really neat to go back and see that, because I played a lot with Matt back in the day. So it's cool. Anyway, sorry, derail.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Well, I'm basically done. I've just played loads of Call of Duty multiplayer. Bought the Battle Pass, didn't I? So it's like incentivized to go on.
I'm stuck in that PUBG right now. I got to get on and do my missions.
Yeah.
Which is good half the time. Half the time it's like a bit of a grind, but there you go.
Yeah, I was having more fun when I wasn't bothering about the missions. I was just playing through. Now I'm like, oh, this guy, this character, if I do this, then I can unlock another skin. Now it's got annoying because I'm trying to do stuff and I'm just getting killed. I'm like, fuck's sake, if I wasn't trying to melee that dickhead, I'd have fucking killed him. So...
I kind of like that. So, like, it actually pushes me to play in different styles that I wouldn't normally, or use weapons that I wouldn't normally do. So I like the challenge of having to learn how to become one of the assholes that run around with a knife and just melee everyone, because they are really annoying. And learning how to
really
do that because I've got
as well.
Yeah, it's a very specific setup that you have to do that correctly and be that asshole. But once you learn it and start getting good at it, and then do the mission, which I think I had it. I had one mission that was kill 10 people with the knife, and then use a weapon to melee the characters, and then do 7 executions, which are the melees behind
fucking torture.
Yeah,
I would have been really getting mental with it.
There are some specific. I think you've got to match the game type to what you want to do. So there's no point doing like search and destroy or hardpoint or anything like that, where people are just rushing one specific spot. Or if you die, you can't sort of try again the whole round. Especially with the execution ones, I found that doing it in team deathmatch was a lot easier because there was more people spread out across the whole map, and you're more likely to sneak up on somebody like and not be killed mid animation. So
I killed someone in mid animation earlier. That was quite satisfying. They were just about to like whatever, what's it called when you do the super melee thing?
Execution,
whatever it is. I was just like, they were about to stab them in the back because they'd done it to me earlier in the game, and I just fucking shot them. Fuck, I was like, yeah, fuck.
So he was probably doing that mission that I was doing, going, oh, it's my last one, and then you interrupt.
Well, I fucking killed him. I was like, yeah. I don't know. It's like, I was having a lot more fun with it when I was just playing it, and now I've got to the point where I'm like, oh. Looking at the missions and trying to do stuff. Yeah, I'm a bit like
this. Yeah. I don't know. Earlier in the week, I did just sort of go, oh, sod it, I'm just going to play how I want to. And then I found the missions that I wanted to do, even on stuff I didn't really care about unlocking, like some rubbish weapons and some like bad tags and stuff. I was like, oh, I'll just do that mission just because it's there. And I just want to use this gun and... But
it's all about those XP to rank up the battle pass, isn't it? That's the thing. You're like, 2,000 XP. Ooh, yeah. Love that. I want to do that mission. It's very good. Like, I was playing it with controller up until like 2 weeks ago, and at some point in the last 2 weeks, it's like, I'm just going to have to fucking bite the bullet and go to mouse and keyboard. And the first day I did it, I was like, I was actually doing all right. I was like, oh, I was absolutely poo at this with mouse and keyboard last time I tried. So I've started to get the muscle memory on the keys that I'm pressing and stuff like that, which is the big problem. And I've learned a lot more of the maps in the last 2 weeks.
Because
there's been a heavy rotation on the same maps. So I'm like, yeah, I'm really kind of starting to learn them, which is a big thing. Like, people who've been playing since fucking September or whatever. All the old maps, they're like... they know like the back of their hand or whatever.
It's
games that are even like 10 years old or whatever.
It's learning whereabouts in the map and what the game type is where you think people are going to be. So you're pointing in the general direction of hotspots, or where people know where to hide and where to catch people unawares are going to be. So yeah, there's a few maps where it's like you know, if there's a hard point in one specific map on that thing, there's going to be one person hiding in that bloody corner that you always forget to look at.
We had a hard point on shipment earlier, and that was just absolutely mental. Every game on shipment is fucking mental. You know what shipment is, Fraser, with all the storage containers? You must have
played that way back in the day. I remember it from back in the day.
So there's like a little square in the middle, which was the hard point, and it was like, oh my God, this is going to be absolutely fucking mental. And it was. But there was one map, one game I had. So I used this, is it the DBS in PUBG? It's like a bang-bang pump, bang-bang pump shotgun type thing. Is that a DBS?
Yeah.
Does it work like that? Yeah, so there's the R90 or whatever in Call of Duty. And I fucking killed a shitload of people. It was like, I can't remember. It was like a little sort of forklift truck, and it was in and between that and a crate. And there was just shit loads of the enemy. There was like bang, 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 bang. Fucking throwed a couple of Semtex everywhere. It was just I got the quad kill feed thing where you kill four people with uninterrupted and all that sort of stuff come through. It was like, it was well fun. For those, like, that brief, like, 5 seconds of just murdering 10 people was like, yes, that's amazing. And then it went back to, like, just getting killed constantly.
Yeah, spawn, die, spawn, die, yeah. Spawn, like
that. But, yeah, those moments when you kill loads of people are great on that map. But, yeah, it's not so great. Well, you're just getting killed constantly.
Yeah. Shipment does have its own rotation now, so
yeah, I'd say there's one you can literally just play Shipment all the time.
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of that, and
it seems like a good way to get a lot of that XP potentially.
It's and rage quit as well is a good way of rage quit. No, I've been leveling up some of my shotguns on that one. So
You've got a big barrel on your shotgun.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay, now you're going into the realm of that's enough card. Comparing barrels.
So is that it for you, Neil?
That's me done.
Cool. So I've only been playing sort of one other game apart from Call of Duty, which is the new XCOM Chimera Squad, which I picked up for half price from Steam.
It launched at half price, didn't it?
It launched at half price. So it was like
that was a good deal as far as I was hearing for XCOM fans.
It's not a full game. It's not like an XCOM or an XCOM 2, the Chosen Few games. It's not, you're not getting 60-70 hour full length game. From what I've read, is about 20, 25. I've actually put in 19.
It's not bad for £8.50 or whatever it was.
Yeah, for that price, it's brilliant. A lot of the things have changed. There's a new mechanic of breaching. So where you're going into a map, your characters are going in at various points and basically getting the drop on the enemies. And then there's various things you can do. You can go in different ways, which either gives you different buffs or debuffs on your characters. Like that, you might do more damage. You might surprise more people if you load out your own characters with a one of the examples is a key card. So only the character with a key card can go in security doors onto new levels once you finish one. The levels are like quite small compared to XCOM and XCOM 2, so you're not dealing with massive expanses of levels where you, some of the levels on XCOM and XCOM 2, you can spend like 5, 6, 7 actual turns just going from one place across the map to another. In this one, you could, most maps you could go from one side to the other in one move. They're very small. The character leveling up is also different, and also the movement turns are different in that in XCOM and XCOM 2, your squad of characters, squad of 4 or 5 or 6, depending on how far you got through, all take a turn, and then the next character in your party takes a turn, or you can swap between them and change the turn rounds between your different characters. On the Chimera Squad, it's laid out in turns per character. So it might be that you have one of your characters has a turn, but you can't swap to another character in your party to have that turn instead. There are some abilities that your characters can have, and you can choose to use to push your own party forward up into the actual list of characters that can make a turn, but all your characters don't have a turn in their turn, in that the enemies might have a turn in between some of your characters, so it adds quite a lot of
It reminds me of like a turn-based RPG more than a
tactical sort of thing. it changes a lot. Like, there's a lot of familiarity
yeah.
with XCOM in the how you equip weapons and utility items and changing some of the weapons or the armor. All that's quite, if you've played an XCOM, it's quite intuitive. But the way the sort of turns play out is quite different. And it is quite, there is quite a lot of story. There's a lot of narrative on how the missions progress. There is, at one point, you can choose how your story progresses, but basically you're following the same story, whatever choice you choose, just in a slightly different order. And yeah, it's I've always liked XCOM, so it was right down my alley. And for £8 or £9 or how much I spent for it, and the amount of hours that I'm put into it, it's been really good. I'm not sure if I'd pay the full price.
It was £15 at full price or something.
Oh, is it?
£16 is full price, I think, or something like that.
How much?
Okay. Yeah, £16.
Yeah. I'd wait for another sale.
There you go, that's the review.
What about sale price XCOM 2? Yeah.
Huh?
What about XCOM 2?
I'd definitely get it.
On Fanatical is like £7.69. Or something.
Really?
Still on sale at Steam.
Well, I've put 108 hours into that. XCOM 2.
Is XCOM 2 better than XCOM?
Yes, massively.
There you go.
Because I kind of like the gameplay style, but at the same time, I was like, fuck. Yeah. Is that still going to happen in XCOM 2? Like, that's my fucking joke.
With XCOM 2, there is a lot of DLC.
Yeah, a lot of DLC. A lot of it's just cosmetic, though, isn't it? There's a couple of proper expansions in it. War of the Chosen is the big thing, isn't it?
War of the Chosen is the big one.
It's like £10.50 on Fanatical at the minute.
You've got there's a few smaller ones. Let's have a quick look. The thing is, I think I've got all of them, to be honest. Some of the packs, like there's a warrior pack. You don't need
Shen's last gift is the one that's actually got a mission, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Or maybe Alien Hunters.
Yeah. Alien Hunter, we've got that as well. Some of the cheaper ones you don't really need. Why have I got reinforcement pack? I think I've got some of the packs when I actually bought it as well.
Special edition or something.
Yeah. War of the Chosen is the not sure if that was a paid expansion or
That was like a full price. It's like £35 full price, and the game itself is £35. So it was like basically a whole new game come out.
That's it. Yeah. Because it did change it so much, actually. I think that's why I've put so many hours into it, because I think I played XCOM 2 all the way through, and then I bought and played War of the Chosen as well. But this was when did I play it? 2007, so I bought that. So, not 2000, sorry, 2017.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think it's
like
the original XCOM's fucking 2012, I think. I've had it since, or something stupid. I was like, wow, that's quite old.
But if you like a game and, if you like XCOM, doesn't sound like you do like XCOM. So
no, I don't know. I kind of like. Is there a load of stuff in XCOM 2 that sort of makes it much more, that just bit of polish and the user friendliness that maybe isn't in the original XCOM, because it's quite...
Yeah.
I mean, Dave seems very good, and it sounds like the price is good, so you should buy it.
Yeah, it is at the minute.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on from XCOM then. I can get through mine. I'll get through the first one quickly anyway. The second one might be interesting. I don't know how quick we can get through it. But I've been playing lots more Animal Crossing, and most of my family had given up on it. It just feel like I'm just this lone toiler on an island by myself.
The main profile then?
No, so if I need to do any infrastructure building, I just go into my center stands and go do it. And then I come in back into my profile and pay for it. Because you can start the originally when you start, you have to either get stuff on you like for your house, you upgrade your house and then you owe the guy money and you got to pay it off. But once you start to get the access to the infrastructure, Stan can just go buy the building kit. He goes and lays it where it needs to be. And then everyone, then there's a guy who sits outside it, and everyone, whenever they're on, can come and give donations to help get it built. So,
On the telly or?
Yeah, I only play on the TV. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's good. Yeah, the islands. You know, it's. I've got routines now. Like I get up early enough in the morning before
your job from a job.
It's my job within a job. Yeah, because I get up in the morning and I do probably 10 or 15 minutes. I make sure I get all my stuff done before I have to go to work, and then I usually have 10 or 15 minutes to have a cup of tea, run around, go hunt for the fossils and hit the rocks. And then I, if I come back home for lunch, then that's when I check out the turnip prices. And then if I play again in the evening, then it's then that's when I really get my head down and start doing some work, gathering and making some coin. The turnip prices is the big one right now. I bought 100,000 barrels worth of turnips on Saturday, which is
a big gamble.
Feral whack. Yeah. And we're now with 1 day left. Only 1 day have the turnip prices been above what I paid for them. And it wasn't enough for me to justify selling them.
Oh.
So bottom go off, though.
Yeah, exactly. I've got one more day. So the turnip prices need to be good tomorrow or I'm in trouble.
So you've gambled on the last day, have you?
Yeah. So I bought them at 96. And
if you don't sell them, they just go, don't they?
Yeah, the only day they've been more than that was one day they were a 114. And I was like, that's not enough. I'm not happy with it. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, that's, yeah. But I could be definitely saying that tomorrow.
You have to pay what do you call it? Like when you sell shares, you have to pay like a commission.
No, there's no commission, no. So today, okay, here's my question. So I paid 96, so about 100 grand's worth at 96 per turnip. And today, and bear in mind, there's only 1 day left. Tomorrow is the last day I can sell them. No matter what the price is, I've got to sell them tomorrow. And today they're 86. So I was thinking maybe to sell.
You're going to cut your losses and all gamble.
I don't really want to cut my losses, but I was thinking maybe to sell like maybe half of them today. You know, so.
Is that a 5 grand loss?
To reduce my loss.
I don't play Animal Crossing. Have you got like funds left over if they're worth nothing tomorrow?
If they're
worth less tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Say they're worth 50 tomorrow. Say they're worth half the price tomorrow.
Do they really go that low, do they?
Yeah, they went to 46 yesterday.
Oh, Jesus.
And my wife bought turnips last week, and she didn't sell them until the last day, and she had to sell them for half she bought them for.
Wow.
Which, I mean, she's not playing as big money stakes like I am, though, right? She's small fry. Me, I'm gambling with people's
all
pensions.
Of your money? Is that all of your money?
Well, I mean, like, you know, probably on a good day of busy work, I can make probably 50,000. So
yeah, you don't need to worry then, do you?
No, but as well, it's just
that's a lot of work.
It's still still money you don't want to lose, right?
Hmm.
But I like it because it's a bit of a gamble. I know it's not real, but also I do know that it's very possible for turnip prices to go super high, right? So, you know,
Have you bought some more when it? Did you buy a load more when it was 46?
No, you can only buy them once a week on Sundays.
Oh, so you're feeling right kicking yourself then, weren't you?
Phrase. if you know somebody who's got Animal Crossing and has the online pass, Nintendo online pass, mm-hmm. and whose price is better than yours, you can go to their island and sell your turnips there.
I am aware of that. Here's the problem, though, is that I only had the weeks free online, and it's now run out. And I'm like, there is no way I am spending and I'd have to buy the
year.
You're
not going to pay real money.
I'm not going to pay real money on the off chance of getting a better turnip price. I don't think I could sleep at night if I did that. I feel so ashamed. So I'm going to risk it. So I think.
But you could do that every week, though, then, if you paid the 20 quid equivalent. You could get the best price for your turnips every week.
Yeah, but then you got to arrange to go. The thing is, you can only visit people's islands when they're online. So now I got to arrange to be online and go to someone's island. Like,
God, Nintendo.
I know. No, they've actually got to allow the online functionality as well. It's not only when they're online. They've got to initiate the allowed.
They've got to open the gate, haven't they?
Yeah.
Dodo to the Dodo Airlines terminal.
Such a hassle.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so we'll see. Watch this.
Sounds like a bad idea to start playing this game, to be honest.
Anyway, the turnip could be bad news tomorrow. I'll keep you posted. You see me online, you'll see the tweet tomorrow. I go, has anyone got decent turnip prices?
Unfollow.
So the for me, the big one that I've been playing this week is I've been playing PUBG. Oh, that's no different, Fraser. You always play PUBG, right? Except that I've been playing it on Stadia. Oh my God, Fraser signed up for Stadia to play PUBG.
Hang on. So does it link to your normal account?
Nope.
No, it's not. It's completely from fresh. So I just created a Stadia account, got my 2 months free of Pro, and I play PUBG. That's all I played on it. I'm not interested in playing anything else. Destiny. I was like, I'll try it out. So this is how it went down. So like I thought, I'll just try it out. Like it's free. It's PUBG. I don't have to download 30 gig of game. It's going to supposedly play straight away. And it does that, right? The quick review of it is, compared to us playing on PC, it's night and day, right? It doesn't look as good. It doesn't play as well. There's latency in there that would drive you nuts. I find it a real struggle to play with my, you know, to play it on Stadia compared to the PC. That being said, if you take that away and just play it anyway, yeah, there's latency. Yeah, it looks janky or whatever, but it's PUBG, right? You can still play it. So I think it's really cool from that point of view that there's the access for people to play it if they want to play it. Like I was talking to a guy at work today. He goes, oh, yeah, I had a chicken dinner last night. Are you still playing? And he's playing on Xbox, right? So there's still people who love playing it no matter what. How janky and crappy it is. I can't because I'm playing mouse and keyboard.
Oh, you'll play some mouse. Yeah,
so it won't match me up. Okay. But here's the other thing, is that I have played probably 20 to 30 matches on Stadia, right? It's not like I turned it off and went, well, tested that out. It's janky, 30 frames per second nonsense. It's got bots. And so I played my first game and I like had kills. Like had like 15 kills of these bots, right? And everybody, wee! And he goes, you've just won chicken dinner. And I'm like, winner, winner, sweet. And it feels really cheap, right? Considering that, you know, I mean, playing PUBG is hard. It's a really hard game on PC. It's a really hard game anyway. But there was just something. It was like having shackles take it off me, right? I could just run around the map and just shoot these dumb bots. I mean, they're dreadful, like, right?
It was like Call of PUBG.
Yeah, it was just brilliant. It's just, you know, it was just fun. And so from that point of view, a lot of people have been complaining about bots going into the game, is I got it. For a brief time this week, I understood why this was a good idea, because I was having fun. Stan came in and played, and we were sort of having games against each other, saying, come on, who's going to kill the most bots in their game, whatever like that. And we're, you know, it was not stressful. It was fun. Super easy, really, you know, but
until you find a real person.
Until, well, this is it. Like there have been, there the games I played, there weren't maybe one or two real people in it per game, which sounds crazy, right? But I was really enjoying just winning pub chicken. I had a 15 kill death ratio, right? Positive. And it's just fun. I was really enjoying it. So that's about that. But I mean, like, yeah, I played yesterday one game, running all over Miramar. And this final circle got into Val d'Amar at the bottom, you know, this at the south coast. And there's a church in Val d'Amar. And I know in a game I played not long ago, I got up on the roof for there and I found it was a great finishing point. I think it was it was a custom that we played against each other. And anyway, so I thought, oh, I'm going to get up there. I'm just going to snipe and shoot the last five bots or whoever's around. But I just didn't, that last bit, whoever else is around, I didn't really say that to myself. Yeah. I was just thinking bots, just breezy my way to another chicken dinner. And I ran up and there's some guy there just ganked me in the stairs. Oh, yeah. Just playing the game properly, right? You know, and yeah, he just wasted me.
He probably just killed you, like, oh, dumb bot.
Oh, man. Made me jump a mile. I haven't been ganked like that for a long time. It was really, you know, fair play to the guy. But I stayed watching him, and you know he was like a proper player. He was just like, he wouldn't move from that spot. He was protecting that staircase, you know, on his way to the chicken dinner. And it was nice to see somebody was, you know, probably an early player first time, just, and you sort of, I might be completely wrong, but I imagined that he was on his way to his first chicken dinner and he was super stoked. He just killed me, right? And I had ghillie suit on and all the gear, right? I was level 3'd up, right? Just going to get crates for fun. And I just imagined, like his excitement or whatever like that, that he was,
you know, blood was pumping and.
Yeah, you know what it's like, right? So, so it was just really cool. So, I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know how to sum up in conclusion, like a positive point for Stadia. I don't know, man. So I got to say it.
Not literally played anything else.
Who, me?
On Stadia, yeah.
No.
Not even looked at anything that's on there.
I don't even think I looked. I mean, the problem is Stadia doesn't run very well at my house. Like, it's pretty, like, if I had to make, I couldn't play until everyone was off the internet. Right. And Stan, at one point it started going really bad and I realized Stan was watching YouTube and I was like, oh, shit. So I'm just on the cusp of being able to run it. Okay. So from that point of view, it's not like a platform that I want to, that suits me at all, really. But the PUBG was like a very nice change considering it's a game. It was a way for me to play PUBG that I've never played PUBG before, which is really cool. Mm. Right. I don't know how long that will last. There are more people playing over the last few days. You could see it was just creeping up slowly with people going, which is good still. So
how, I'm not being funny, like, you must be playing mostly, I'd have thought, Stadia players with mouse and keyboard on Stadia. Like, because how many people are really playing you mouse and keyboard on PS4 or Xbox?
I have no idea.
Can't be many, surely.
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
Well, I do see it when I'm playing Call of Duty. I do see the odd mouse come up next to someone's Xbox or PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To say that they're playing on mouse and keyboard.
Oh. Could be. I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a lot more because I have no special hardware. I'm just playing on my browser, right? So that's the thing with it. Like, I haven't had to buy anything. I just made my account and I run it. You know, within 5 to 10 minutes, you can be up playing PUBG.
From that point of view, it's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. You know what? I'm ruined because I play PUBG on PC. And like now I go load PUBG on my PC and it's like, just looks phenomenal compared to Stadia, right? And runs just phenomenal compared to Stadia. So
I don't understand why it would run badly on Stadia. Like,
it's not that it runs badly, it's just,
you get the artifacting and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as crisp, it's not as clean, it's not, and it has the latency. It has the latency. There is no doubt about it, right? I mean, you know, like for us, ping might affect our interaction with other players. It doesn't affect what's happening on our screen with our characters, you know. And when you play PUBG, you know, when you look left and right, you can just tell there's a little bit of a delay. Right.
So what, are you feeling like a lag on your mouse? Kind of thing?
You feel like a lag on all your controls.
Okay. Maybe it's might be better if you played with a controller. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to happen though, but maybe. So anyway, so I just found that's really interesting. So, you know, as much as we slag off PUBG, Stadia, and PUBG sometimes. yeah, it was just interesting that after all that, I got stuck in and got some real value out of it. So there you go. Make of that what you will.
What happens after 2 months?
I definitely do not renew, and that's it.
Yeah, because you can buy PUBG on Stadia.
Don't you just create another email address and sign up with a new account with a new email address?
I don't know if it's only going to be... this is only a temporary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they won't have it on forever.
All right.
I've not gone back to it at all since I played whatever it was, Guilt. I've not felt like I need to go back and play anything on there.
No.
I went on and went click, 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 claim, claim, claimed all the pro games. I was just, probably never going to play it. I can't believe a racing game is going to work very well.
Well, it's just like latency grid, thing, right?
Grid, isn't it? I'm like, it's an all right game, apparently. But I'm like,
yeah, I like grid. Yeah.
I don't see a racing game working very well, considering one of the big things when Forza came out, it was like, it runs at 360 like frames per second, in equivalent of like your physics is worked out at 360 frames per second, but you're only seeing like 60 frames per second. I'm like, there's no way you're getting that kind of fucking
no
reaction on a racing, like a racing game is quite crucial to be like, you know, you need to be in control. So
no, it's streaming. It's, you know, ultimately it's stream. It doesn't matter how fast it's running in at, you know, at the, in the cloud, they can be running at 120 frames per second or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be streaming. It's still streaming at a janky rate. Right. As, well, it is. That's what I've experienced. So I don't know. I mean, like,
if I suppose my Google Fiber, maybe.
Yeah, maybe if you've got Google Fiber, and maybe if you don't know any better, that's the problem with us, is we know way better. Like, it just isn't as good as what we have available at our fingertips right now. So, but anyway, that Stadia, we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's, should we crack on with the news?
Yeah, insert news jingle.
Ding, 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 news.
Okay, well, it's a bit old news, but I think it's within the last, pretty much the last week. Obviously, there's no E3. Jeff Keighley said he wasn't getting involved in E3, didn't he? He's been announced this sort of Summer Game Fest, which is going to run from this month until August. And we've got 2K, Activision, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Blizzard, Bungie, CD Projekt Red, Digital Extremes, EA, Microsoft, Sony, blah, 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 loads of places, all confirming to be involved. He does something, doesn't he, with, yeah, playable demos and game trials will be available for limited time on PC, Xbox, and, quote, other platforms. And so this is all sort of a digital replacement almost of E3, I guess. So at least there'll be something to look for this summer. I don't know when the first thing is yet. There is a website. I could look at that. It's a sign up to be notified at the moment. And the first thing on here was Inside Xbox, which we've already seen, which is coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And May the 12th is Sunrise number one. Join Jeff Keighley for a surprise game reveal. It's cryptic. What time's that? 12 p.m. Eastern time on May the 12th. What's that in English? 5 o'clock-ish p.m., isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, 5, 4 or 5.
So on the May the 12th, when's that? Tuesday? Something like that?
Tuesday.
So we'll see what comes of that. But yeah, he's, you know, all over it.
Cool.
Hopefully there'll be some cool stuff to see in the next 2-3 months. I did mention this earlier, the unhappy Xbox player filing a lawsuit, the class action lawsuit against Microsoft for about this dodgy stick drifter, which is comes with in a short time, in quotes, and his replacement controller 3 or 4 months later.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were going to put that in as a news article when I talked about it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, so I've experienced this the other day. I don't know if it's going to come and go, because it literally was fine one day, and the next day I was like, oh, man, what the hell's going on here? I think I've had it on multiple other... I don't know if it's one of those things where I can take it apart and clean it, and maybe it'll work again. I don't know.
But this... I don't think so. What I understand... what, fixing the drift? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, I heard that there's a problem with some of the plastic wears down, so it's screwed.
Brilliant.
So I know the old joysticks, there used to be, there was a certain amount of dead zone within the center of the stick, and you, on, I'm not sure if it in games or
the,
on the actual console.
You can adjust the dead zone. Yeah, it might be adjusted on the console level.
But so I don't know. If that, but it depends on how much the sensitivity of one, the controller, and two, the actual games, like having that configured within the changing that within the controller itself. So, but if you know, if there's a fault with 160 quid, 150, 160 quid device that can go wrong within 3 or 4 months,
yeah, that's not great. That's great. I mean, I've had mine a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
And it's taken a fair bit of battering, I guess. But it's still not great, is it, when you paid that money?
No.
You know, I mean, maybe this is the, you know, I mean, if it's a fault, it's a fault, and that's no good. I mean, I'm
not sure they're really up for fucking paying out another shitload of money after the 360 business. But
yeah. Well, but I don't think they'll have that many out. I mean, they'll have quite a few out there, but anyway, I mean, I've got probably tons of Xbox controllers, Xbox 360 and Xbox One controllers. Not, and some have drift. I've got one Xbox One controller upstairs, which I noticed drift the last couple of weeks. And it's slightly annoying at the wrong time.
Yeah, like, it depends what you're playing. Like, I've noticed it in Destiny 2 occasionally. I'll be like, not really touching my controller, and all of a sudden my character will just move. And I'm like, why are you moving? And I'm not touching the controller.
Yeah, I was playing Metal Gear Solid, and Snake kept going and just putting his head against the wall. And I was like, what's this? You're right, he's got brain damage or something. He keeps going just in the corner.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's weird because I can kind of like flick the stick and it'll be back all right.
And yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, I ain't used it for nearly 2 weeks, so maybe I'll be all right when I turn it back on. I like to do that. With a lot of
it's problems, niggly. Right? It's a niggly bloody problem with joy, cons, yeah. Whatever they call them, joysticks, whatever the fuck they are. I'm getting joy to the cons, end now. Let's go,
Dave. You're up.
Yeah, I put a Cyberpunk 2077 news article in that the we've been graced with the information that you'll be able to customize your genitals in Cyberpunk 2077. It just says genitals. It could some locations depict. Hang on.
Adjust the length of your penis, apparently. Oh no, that was Conan Exiles, which has a.
Wasn't that in a game?
This is in Conan Exiles, yeah.
It says here, players can select a gender and customize their character. Customization can include depiction of breasts, yeah, buttocks, and genitalia, as well as various sizes and combinations of genitals.
Oh, I could maybe have a few. Oh,
yeah.
You could go, you could live your dream, Neil, and become a she-man.
I could. This is now must buy.
So, yeah.
As if it
wasn't
already.
So
they're
yeah,
not going to get away with what I mean. What we could, our dirty minds can come up with. I mean, there's somebody's going to go. You can't do that. Like you just can't do that.
I don't know.
No. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. We will, and I'm sure it won't take long to find it, to see it. To be fair, once.
well, you know, if it comes up,
here it's just Conan Exiles, which has a dong slider.
Yeah. if there's not going to be one on,
I remember I started playing that actually, and I played as a female. You can, you know, adjust the breast size and all that, over the body shape and all that stuff on Conan Exiles. So yeah,
was that like in Weird Science when they did that, when they were like making?
Yeah, basically, pretty much. Except obviously, she came to life in Weird Science. Yeah, spoilers about it. That was a classic movie. I watched that quite a lot, to be fair, when I was young. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Bill Paxton, a legend.
Yeah, everything about it was cool.
Yeah, it was fucking brilliant.
Right, let's crack through this Xbox.
Right, so it's next, basically, I'm not talking about Last of Us spoiler stuff that obviously came out in the week before. There's a new Last of Us 2 trailer out. I ain't watched it. I'm not really watching anything, I don't think, trailer-wise, until I decide whether I'm actually going to buy the game or not. I can't think of anything else I didn't put in here. Oh, more Fortnite party stuff going on. Just a little note on their Fortnite business. 3.2 billion hours logged in April.
Wow. On Fortnite.
Fucking dead game. Right. So, yeah, the main thing that's happened in the last week was yesterday, wasn't it? This Xbox Series X gameplay, inverted commas, reveal. So they unveiled a load of this new Xbox Series X games. None of them, I don't believe, were Microsoft games. So this was all third parties. So Dirt 5 was announced, a part of this, and might not be interesting, but the first thing that is interesting about this is one of the first games that's confirmed it will run at 120 frames per second on the new Xbox Series X, which you'll need obviously a new TV for. If
I was going to say, how many TVs can run that?
Yeah, there's now a few LGs I know of, and I'm assuming the new Samsungs. You'll definitely need a TV that's come out in the last 18 months or so. And you'll need to check that as well to be a feature. It's FreeSync 2, isn't it? I think is the thing you need to look for. And this has got a story mode, 35, in featuring Nolan North and the other guy. What's his fucking name? I've completely forgotten right now.
Yeah, the other voice guy.
Yeah, the other big, massive voice guy is always in PlayStation games.
Yeah, I can't remember. It'll come to us.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, that's kind of could be interesting. I don't know. I prefer my racing games to just be racing games, to be honest. But Yakuza, what's it called? Like a Dragon, is an Xbox Series X launch title. So this is the new style Yakuza game. Obviously, Yakuza's sort of...
Troy Baker,
that's the one. I've done. I had to search that, I could hear.
Yeah, I know, but it's just put us out of our misery.
Yeah. This is more going to a new combat system, because it's usually like a brawler with different... Mm. You can switch the styles and stuff. It's quite good. But this new one is going to be turn-based, so... Interesting, and I'm sure it's going to look pretty amazing when it comes out. Then I haven't seen this one yet, to be honest. The 1930s looking tropical adventure, Call of the Sea. This one created a bit of a buzz, I think, because of its sort of style. Don't know too much about it though, to be honest. I can't click, I've fucking done something and I can't get rid of that. So it's a non-violent mystery adventure set on a tropical island in the South Pacific in the 1930s. So, and this is one of the big things I did notice. Multiple of these games are coming to Xbox Game Pass at launch. And they're obviously going to be on Xbox One. And I believe some of them, most of them, maybe PC as well. So you don't even
Call of the Sea. Call of the Sea is at Xbox Game Pass. Cool.
Yeah, so we'll be able to play that without investing multiple hundreds of pounds in a console, which is good. The big one was Assassin's Creed. Everyone's like,
"Oh, any of us Assassin's Creed fans here?"
I've played a good 20 odd hours of Odyssey, enjoyed every moment of it probably, and then just didn't play it anymore because there was just like, I've got fucking nowhere in this game. There's fucking tons left to do, and I've done 20 hours already. So it was one of them. I might go back to it, and I might get really into it again and play it for ages. But it's just
it's not my thing. A lot of people will be well all over it, but not
well. This got a more new sort of think features, I think, as well. This is every Assassin's Creed has to do something a bit different. It has been trying to be doing a bit different. So you've got a settlement or something to look after this time. They did this thing in Fallout, didn't they? Fallout 4. You were a big fan of that.
Yeah, I loved Fallout.
You had to look after your sort of base type of thing, didn't you? Base building and all that sort of stuff.
So, yeah.
You didn't have to, but
No, that's what I think. It's whether you're going to, if this becomes a thing you have to do, which being an Assassin's Creed game, I'm sure it is going to be a thing you have to do. Otherwise, you're fucking probably, you won't get quite the boost to your character if you don't do this and don't do that kind of thing. So we'll wait and see. But all of these games look pretty awesome, like graphically and all that sort of stuff. So there was a whole load of other games that they showed. So there's one called The Ascent, which was the twin sticky looking shooter thing, I think. Oh no, hang on, I'm getting confused. Which one was this? I can't remember now. The one that caught my eye was, is it Scorn? That was the Geiger looking horror thing. It looks pretty cool. There was one. The thing is, I watched the video, but I only caught the end of it, and it was the guys, the developers chatting. Is it the Nexus one, maybe? Is that the ones from the Polish developers? No, that's not it. That was the another horror-looking thing. But yeah, right. Great. Basically, the takeaway was graphics look nice.
Good graphics.
There'll be more to come. So it's all out there if you're really bothered. Didn't watch the video. Probably should have done.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. I wasn't that interested in it.
The Medium is the game I'm thinking of. That was all the Polish developers, I think. Sort of, yeah. But I don't know. Yakuza, I liked Yakuza, old school. I like turn-based stuff. I'll be interested in that. But the main thing I am interested in is the amount of things that were showing as they're coming to Game Pass. We're considering they're not first party titles. So obviously everything they show that is first party, I assume, is still gonna be part of this whole go straight to Game Pass.
Better be, that's what they told us.
So there's gonna be a lot of games to play, even if you don't have an Xbox Series X by the look of it, if you've got Game Pass.
Cool.
And what was it? So I didn't look at this, but they've, which one, because the what's it called, the smart delivery thing that they sort of were crowing about, as you buy the game and depending on which version of Xbox you have, it will download the appropriate version. So if you have the Series X, you'll get the full Monty, and if you have a base Xbox One, you'll just get the basic stuff. And there are The Ascent, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Call of the Sea, Chorus, Cyberpunk, Dirt 5, Scarlet Nexus, Second Extinction, Vampire, The Masquerade Bloodlines 2, and Yakuza Like a Dragon will all be smart delivery games. And EA announced that they're not doing smart delivery, I think. They're doing a free next-gen upgrade for Madden, but it'll be a time-limited thing, I think. It's a limited window on the EA stuff. So you'll need to buy Madden before the end of this year to get your free, and your Xbox upgrade will be required by March, end of March next year for you to get it. Otherwise you'll have to pay for it again. So, not quite the same. But there's quite a lot of games there that are, what's that, 10? 10 games that you can buy and just automatically get the upgrade.
So I'm guessing this is just the sort of online, sort of the digital versions of these.
I don't know, because I heard someone talk about this. If you buy the disc version, if you bought the disc, or whether even maybe, who knows, maybe are these games even going to come out on discs, half of them? I don't know. Who knows? But maybe if you just got the disc, you stick it in the console. Like, obviously, if you've got a 360 game at the moment, you can stick it on your Xbox One and it'll download
the digital version
of the game, to run on your Xbox One. And if you've got an Xbox One X, well, some of those games have been up-resed and all sorts to 4K. So they're still, I think it was a bit of a misstep in a way for what they've done. The general reaction was like, it wasn't really what you said it was going to be, but they've announced a shitload of games.
What do you mean, the console's not going to be what they think it's
going to
be?
No, the way it was all going to be gameplay.
right?
And not much it felt like it was actually gameplay, and it was just basically trailers and stuff. So I think people were a little bit pissed off, as they are, with these things, that they weren't quite what they thought they were going to be when they saw them. But there's still put a lot of people, a lot of buzz about the games that they were actually showed and stuff like that. So, I think there was a because they've been pretty good at their messaging for a while, and then they felt a bit like they'd fucked up a bit on this. So we'll see.
Managing expectations.
Exactly. There's like what, nearly, well, maybe 6 and a bit months until these things come out. So as long as they don't fuck everything up between now and then, they'll be all right. So I think the big thing is July, when they announce their own games and whatever's actually coming out. When we get launch titles and stuff like that, to know what's coming out, when it comes out, all that sort of stuff.
Do you reckon they'll get
decide what they're going to buy?
Do you reckon they'll get
had some more stuff come out on it as well, I think. That's going to be 150 gig on PC, is what I heard.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
How much?
150 gigabytes for Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's a fucking week of downloads, isn't it? Nice. God knows how long that'll take, but yeah, that does look amazing.
See, it's quite funny because now we're starting to get back into the sizes of games where it would actually be quicker for you to drive to a store or order a disc on Amazon, or a number of discs, 2 or 3 Blu-rays, 150 gig, like 2 Blu-rays, and just stick them in, and then it will just download, like, write it to the hard drive.
Yeah, and then you'd have to download another fucking 50 gigabyte patch because it's not quite right.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not even... Like, it's still tons you got to download. It's the game, all the games have to be patched and fixed on the fly. It's just not the same as it was.
You know, I've got quite a good connection. I've got it says a maximum of 200 meg where I am, but it's not. It's more like a minimum of 200. I get a maximum of about 500. But even I, like, downloading and installing Call of Duty, 80 odd gig twice. Because I'd done one for the when I first got it free, and then upgraded, which gave me all the game and multiplayer and everything. I know there was issues at the time, but
yeah, there's definitely still issues, I think,
with download speeds and stuff. But it took about 6 or 7 hours each time for each 80 gig, and this, like, I don't know. It just felt like I should have actually just got a CD or a DVD, shall I say.
You wouldn't get much. You'd have about 20 CDs.
CDs, yeah.
and then it's probably even more than that.
Yeah.
But at least I feel like I'm actually doing something instead of just watching a bar, like swapping out a CD each time, you know what I mean?
Well, I just downloaded a new game. I mean, it's funny with the Game Pass. Like, last night, I'm going to play Remnant from the Ashes, which is on Game Pass. So I decided, it's like a
console.
I think it's only on console.
It's a Dark Souls-y game, is it?
Well, they said it's unfair to compare it to Dark Souls. It looks to me like it's going to be sort of like a play a bit like Gears of War with Dark Souls elements or something. So it's supposed to be very good, and it's co-op too. Should be fun. But it's like 30
Not getting Red Dead 2 then, though.
Fuck no. But, like, you know, I just last night set it to download, and so I knew it would be done today. Right? It's just, I'm just in that mindset now that if I want a game, I'm not playing it straight away. Right, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, should we call it there?
I think so.
Okay. That's nearly 2 hours.
Good. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for our first anniversary. Thank you for listening. Dave and Neil, thanks for a good year. I appreciate it. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure.
Good.
Thank you for starting all this bollocks.
Yeah.
You're dragging us in, kicking and screaming.
You didn't kick and scream. I knew you'd like it. Good. Okay, well, then, until next time. We'll see you later.
Ta-ra.
Real. Thanks.